Please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. That's the very start of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1. The word Genesis means beginning, and this is the beginning. This is God's word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Where did we come from? Where did all this come from? Where did the stars come from? How old is the universe? How old is the planet? How long have there been people on the planet? This morning's news brings word of yet another discovery in South Africa of skeletal remains that some scientists believe could be another relative of humanity. Some people are very excited. I'm old enough to be bored. Dr. J. Edwin Orr, the scholar of revival, a man with multiple PhDs from very reputable secular institutions, Dr. J. Edwin Orr spoke in the little town of Montreat when I was a teenager, and he shared a story that I have found not only helpful, but important. And I want to share it with you, because we need to consider his lesson as we approach this text. He said, if you're visiting in my home, you might hear the kettle whistling on the stove and ask, why is the kettle whistling? He said, I can explain to you that we have electrical current that comes into our home, and it is channeled through wires to the range in the kitchen. And when the circuit is turned on to allow the current into the heating element, that element has been designed of materials in such a way that it will cause resistance to the electrical current. And that resistance to the current flowing through it in order to make the circuit, that resistance generates heat. That heat is transferred through the bottom of the kettle as the heat rises. The kettle is made of copper, an element with high conductivity for heat. And as that heat moves up through the bottom of the kettle, it goes into the water we've placed in the kettle and sets up what's called Brownian motion, because the molecules become excited by the heat. They begin to move at a faster rate. And when they are moving so fast that they transition from a liquid state to a gaseous state, then it forces some of, because of the pressure built up in there, it's contained space, it forces some of that steam to exit out the spout, which has been designed in such a way that it will split a column of air, which creates sound waves that you and I hear as the whistling of the kettle. You asked why the kettle was whistling. He said, now my wife, hearing the same question, would probably give a different answer. If you said, why is the kettle whistling? My wife would say, we're about to make tea. Would you like some? He said, now the answer that I gave is absolutely true. It's completely accurate, but for most people, it's totally unsatisfying. The answer that my wife gives is also completely true. And it is much more in line with what most people want to know. What is the purpose of Genesis 1? Is it to give us a scientific account of how God did everything that he did? I don't believe so. Well, so are you saying you don't believe God created everything? Oh, no. I know God created everything. That is an absolute fact. But you're saying you don't think he could have done it in 6 days. I believe, beyond any shadow of a doubt, I'm absolutely convinced, knowing God quite well, he not only could have done it in 6 24-hour days, he could have done it in 6 nanoseconds or less. Okay? He is the Almighty One. He doesn't have a lot of power. He has all power. So anybody who reads Genesis 1 and thinks, I just don't think it could have happened like that, is a bozo. If you think God couldn't pull this off, you don't know God. And if you don't know God, you need to. So the first thing we need to understand from Genesis chapter 1 is what we read right at the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. Look at it again together. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, so we got the heavens. That's the stuff that's not on earth. That's like the sky, the stars, the galaxies, everything out there. And then we got the earth. So God created our planet and all the other stuff that we see when we look out from our planet into space. Because our planet is sitting in space. Okay? We're in a solar system that's in a galaxy, that's in a universe that is beyond our comprehension. And the greatest scientists in the world still only know a tiny little fraction of what is real out there. All that and all this was created by God in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So you're saying everything came from God? Yes, absolutely. Well, where did God come from? God didn't come from. God has always been. Well, everything else has a beginning. Right, because God created everything else. Well, it seems like if everything else had a beginning, God would have to have a beginning. Why does it seem like that? Well, because everything else has a beginning. Well, precisely, because God created everything else. If you are not able to process that, I am sorry, but it's not because it's really difficult. Everything else has a starting point because God created everything else. The fact that everything else has a starting point does not suggest that God must also. That would be like thinking because everybody in your family had brown hair, everybody has brown hair. No. Everything else in the universe has a start date because God created the heavens and the earth. But God has always been. In the beginning, he was already there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So everything else comes from him. What about cows? God. Like, what about like mountains? God. And like the ocean? God. He created all that. Well, what about like really distant galaxies? God. He created all that. Everything, everywhere. There isn't something somewhere that God says, wow, how'd that get there? God created the universe. He created all of it. We need to know that. Because what it tells us, among other things, is that as huge, as vast as this universe that we explore is, God's bigger. God's infinite. He's not limited. And God is not only infinitely huge, He is here. He's everywhere. So this God we're learning about in Genesis chapter 1, who created everything, has all power. What did He make it out of? Nothing. Well, how's that possible? He's God. Well, it seems like if you're going to make stuff, you got to have something to make it out of. Yeah, that's why God created the stuff. But God created the universe. The word that's used here for God's creation is not God making something out of something else. That comes later. God will do that too, right here in Genesis chapter 1 and in Genesis chapter 2. But at the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, God simply created the heavens and the earth. So that's the first thing we want to learn from this, is that everything that exists was created by God. Now, that does not mean that it was created by God in its present condition. As we read the book of Genesis, we'll find out why a lot of stuff seems messed up. It's a result of sin. The Bible's going to explain that. Where did that come from? How did that happen? What do we need to learn from that? All that's coming in days to come, God willing. But for now, we need to understand that everything was created by God. So is this going to tell us then how He did it? I don't think so. It's going to tell us that He did it, and it's going to tell us why He did it. What we read in this chapter is that God said, "This is what I want," and boom, that's what happened. Remember when they woke Jesus up during a storm on the Sea of Galilee? And they said, "Don't you care that we're going to drown?" And Jesus said to the wind and the waves, this horrible storm that was threatening to kill His followers, Jesus said to the wind and the waves, "Be quiet." And instantly, the wind stopped, the waves stopped, the sea was calm. And the disciples said, "Wow, that's cool." No, it says the disciples were terrified. And they said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him." That was Jesus displaying just a glimpse of this divine power. Because you see, when God says, "Let there be light," there was light. He not only created the universe is at His command, it is under His control. He rules the universe. He is not only the creator of all things, He is the ruler and sustainer and judge of all things. And so you and I need to understand that if we are not living a life surrendered to Him, we are in rebellion against someone who knows everything and has total power and authority. We're living like fools. Why in the world would you want to rebel against somebody who knows exactly where you are and everything you think and do and has all power and has promised that He will judge the earth? I don't want to tangle with Him. Okay? That just seems to me like a really bad choice. But flip it around. If you are living a life surrendered to Him, realize what that means. The God that you have yielded your life to is the God who is in total control of the universe. And even when stuff happens in your life that seems really to be painful and messy and crazy and I don't understand what's going on. God knows exactly what he's up to, and he's working all things together for the good of those who love him. Doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is good. It means that God is using it for good. There's going to be something beautiful made of that. And so when you and I go through difficult times, if we know God and our lives are surrendered to him, we don't have to be afraid. Because it's not like, oh God, please look over here. He sees. He knows what's going on. He understands. And he cares about you. That's good news, isn't it? He cares about you. He really does. He loves you. And he offers you the comfort of his love. So, as we read this, we see that God created everything, and he did it with a pattern and plan. The way this is recounted for us, I want you to see there are three areas, three spheres, three rooms, if you want to call them that, that God forms, and then God assigns rulers to those categories. Okay? What does he create on day one? Take a look at it. He creates the light. God said, let there be light, verse 3, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. So he created day and night on the first day. What did he create on the second day? God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. I don't know if this bothers you, but it sounds like the water was already there. Where did the water come from? Go back up to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. That's the waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So was the water already there? Well, it was after God made it. If you read 2 Peter 3, you find that the earth was made, formed out of water and by water. Strange expression. But it's actually a description of how things came about. Did you know that if you have sinus trouble, allergies, that kind of thing, you can use saline solution to rinse your sinuses and it will help you? You need to be sure it's clean water and that you clean your little neti pot and so forth so you don't create more problems for yourself. But you can actually improve your sinus problems by using saline solution to wash it out. Isn't that nice? Well, what should be the concentration of the saline? Oh, saline, by the way, is salt water. What should be the concentration of the saline? Actually, it should be just about like ocean water. Really? Yeah. And if they have to hook a bag up to give you saline in order to hydrate you in the hospital, do you know what the concentration of the saline will be? About the same as what we run through our noses, which is the same as the ocean water, which is the way that God made things. And did you know that mostly what your body is full of right now as you're walking around is water? Salt water? Say, so should I drink salt water? No, you need to drink fresh water. Your body will turn it into saline very nicely. But your body is mostly water. Isn't that interesting? So this water thing, right at the beginning of the creation, is there after God made it. Okay? So on day two, when God separates the waters above the expanse from the waters below, we could say that he made the sky as differentiated from the waters. That's going to be important because of what's going to come on day five. On day three, what does God make? Dry land. and vegetation. But then on day four, what does he make? On day four, he makes lights in the sky. The sun to rule the day, and the moon and stars to rule the night. So what God has just done on day four is to install rulers over what he made on day one. Okay? Day four, he installs rulers over what he made on day one. On day five, he made the sea creatures and the birds, who are supposed to exercise dominion and multiply within the area that he made on day two. The sky, where the birds are, and the waters below, which is where the fish and sea creatures are. On the sixth day, what does God make? He makes animals and he makes man. And what are they there for? They are there in order to rule over the dry land and the vegetation, and man is ruling over the animals, and he's ruling over the birds, and he's ruling over the sea creatures. In other words, the whole thing builds up to what we read about the creation of man. God made man in his own image to rule over the creation. Our job was not to own the place, but to manage the place for the owner. And God made us in his image, in his likeness. Well, I think it says that he made man. What about woman? Well, we're going to get to that in chapter 2. But woman is in chapter 1 also because he made them, it says, male and female. So, if I get this right, you're saying God created everything. Yes. And he created it with a design and a purpose. He didn't just set certain principles and laws in place and then let sort of things happen and he watched to see what was happening. Well, no, not exactly, but it does use interesting terminology here to say that as God made all these things out of what he had created, that he looked and he said, that's good. Before sin enters the picture, the creation is all good. And when God made man, he was very pleased. It turns out that we are very pleasing to God. Verse 31, God saw all he had made, and it was very good. Now, I want to try and help you balance something here. On the one hand, because of sin, there is evil in the world, there is sickness, there is pain, there is suffering, there is death. We'll get to that. But if you don't appreciate the fabulous beauty of this creation even after the fall, in other words, this is still beautiful after it's messed up. After sin has entered the picture, snowflakes are still amazing. The structure of your inner ear that not only enables you to hear but gives you a sense of balance, magnificent. The way your eye works. No Apple product can compare. Okay? There's no camera designed by man that is capable of doing what your eye can do.
Well, there are cameras that can do really remarkable, specialized things.
Yeah, I know that, but they still can't do what this can do.
Yeah. Well, your eye can't do some of the stuff they can do.
I know that. Believe me, I know that. But there isn't anybody who would want to swap one of those cameras for their vision. Now, is there? Because how useless would that be?
I've got this really cool camera. Can somebody point me?
Okay. We are walking miracles. The way that your digestion works, you've got an incredibly long tube and stuff goes in one end and out the other. And as it passes through your body is able to get from it all the stuff it needs to function. Magnificent design. You talk about a packing job.
You know, we had to only take a small bag to the beach and I really had a hard time getting all this.
You have no idea how magnificently all the stuff inside of you is packed. If we took it all out and laid it on a table, it would be very unhappy for you. But if we took it all out and placed it on a table, you'd say, I'm never going to be able to get all that in there. And you're right. But God not only put it in your body, He put it in such a way that it works together and complements each other. You are magnificent. Don't let anybody ever make you think that somehow you're just puny, you don't amount to anything, there's nothing there. You are amazing. God made you that way. You've got eyes. You've got ears. You've got a nose that can smell stuff. Just the taste buds on your tongue. Amazing. The nerves that enable you to feel texture and heat and cool and pressure and all those things. Amazing. God designed you to be a beautiful reflection of His glory and power. You need to know that and you need to rejoice in it. Genesis chapter 1. I do not believe that God ever intended to tell us all the mechanics of how He did everything. He could have, but that's not what the chapter says. It's not what it's about. God is telling us, where did we come from? God made us. Well, was it just on a whim? No, it was with a design. God made us to reflect His glory. And God put us here with a responsibility to exercise dominion over the creation. That's why when we do what we do in chapter 3, it's such a mess. Because suffice it to say, in chapter 3, we're going to get there. Instead of ruling over the creation, man submitted himself to the creation in disobedience to God. That's crazy. It's what all of us have been doing ever since. We inherited insanity.
Are you saying my family's insane?
Well, I'm saying sometimes they do insane things, just like my family. We all are here because God created us with a plan. And all of us have violated God's direction. And that's why all of us need a Savior. And the book of Genesis is going to tell us how it started out, how it went wrong, and how God is the only one who can save us. And He will save all those who put their trust in Him. We've got a lot more to cover in the days to come. I look forward to studying this with you. And I hope that as you study Genesis, you will ask the God who created everything to help you to know Him better. Because He's very real and He's right here, right now. And you can know Him through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much. We're so glad that You are who You are. We praise You and worship You because of who You are. Lord, thank You for choosing to reveal Yourself. And thank You for telling us that You have a plan for us and that we are supposed to reflect Your glory, Your nature. Oh, Lord, there is so much here. Please help us to believe what You say and trust You completely And we'll be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. For his sake, amen.